We're on Daf Kuftes Vavam and Beis, about 15 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Boy Mine Rav Huna Bar Chaluv Mi Rav Nachman. Sefer Torah Ad She'ein Bo L'Laket Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios. So we're talking about a Sefer Torah that was written Kedasu Kedin, it has Kedusha Sefer Torah, and afterwards, subsequently, some of the Sefer Torah got ruined, got disintegrated, some of the letters were erased, and that's called Bola Bet Lamed Hey or Nimchak. And at this point, we're left with most of the Sefer Torah is gone. We just have some words that are spread around here and there. And Ein Bo L'Laket Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios. You know, you can't find this minimum amount of 85 letters left in the entire Sefer that were erased. Kigon. And where do we get this number 85 letters from? Those are the letters of Parshas Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon, which is in Parshas Balos Chomer Shem here in Eretz Yisrael. We'll read it this week. And that Parsha, which is made up just of three psukim, or two psukim actually, is set off with Nunim Hafuchim, with brackets. It's a sefer unto itself. And Rav Huna wants to know, what happens if that's all you're left with in the Sefer Torah, is a sum total of 85 letters that correspond to the 85 letters of Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon, and there's a fire. And the question is, can you be matzil b'fnei adleika? Is there a vestige, shall we say, of Kedusha Sefer Torah, and it still has a Shem Sefer? And that's because Vayehi B'Tzor is called a Sefer unto itself. And in truth, we really have six Svarim. We don't have five Chumashim, we have six Chumashim. Now, again, as far as Geniza is concerned, the Gemara doesn't even have a doubt. Certainly, it doesn't have any less Kedusha than the case of a Rekev that we spoke about in the previous year when a Sefer Torah requires Geniza. However, here the question is Hatzol B'fnei Adleika. And we mentioned before that if you don't have the full Kedusha, for example, Rav Huna's Shita was that if it was written in a foreign language, and it only has partial Kedusha because we're holding like Reb Shimon Gamliel that it's Ein Korin Bo, and we needed Gniz over there, but not Hatzol B'fnei Adleika. So what's the status of this Sefer Torah that was Nimchak, and all you have left is 85 letters? Omale, so Rav Huna responds, I'm sorry, this is not Rav Huna who's talking, this is Rav Nachman who's asking on the question of Rav Huna. And he says to him, V'tiboy lecha parshas vayehi b'tzor aharon gufa. It's why you, before you ask the question about a Sefer Torah that has osios mefuzaros here, there, and elsewhere, there's still some letters left over. Why don't you ask about an entire Sefer, a Parsha of Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon, which is intact? And what would happen if you had, let's say, Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon? Would you be matzil b'fnei adleika? So why do you ask me about a Sefer Torah, which is a complete Sefer Torah that's missing letters? Ask me about Parshas Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon. Now, Rashi interprets that the Gemara's question, or Rav Nachman's counter question against Rav Huna was, in the case of Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon, what would happen if within that Parsha itself, which has 85 letters, one letter would be missing? Or even more than one letter, but a minimum of one letter, would be Mimatzil B'fnei Adleika. So Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, you know what? Hecha in a case where Chaser Parshas Vayehi B'Tzor lo komi boile. If the Parsha of Vayehi B'Tzor in itself is Chasera, it's missing a letter, then I don't have any suffix. Certainly a Matzil also B'fnei Adleika. Why? Because the Kevan de Isbeas Karos, there are Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are in this parasha. Is Afagav Deles Pei Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios Matzilin. So when you had a Sefer and it was sanctified with Kedushas HaSefer, now it's missing, but it has the Shemos, that for sure. And you don't even need this requirement of 85 letters, this minimum requirement. But Kikami Baili, my suffix, says Rav Huna, was in a case of a Sefer Torah She'ein Bo, it doesn't have enough letters, L'Laket, to gather together 85 letters. And there are no Azkaras in those letters that are left in the Sefer Torah. So at least in the case of Ayib and Zoharon, you could subtract one or two letters, but you're still left with Shemos. Here I'm talking about a Sefer Torah that although it was at one time it was sanctified with a full-fledged Kedusha Sefer Torah, but now it doesn't have any Shemos left. It's less than 85 letters, and it doesn't have any Shemos. So what's the status of such a Sefer Torah? It was once a glorious Sefer Torah, but now there's not much left. And the question is, would I be matzil b'fnei adleika? Omaleis Rav Nachman responds Rav Huna, ein matzilin. This does not have enough of a Kedusha Sefer Torah that would warrant and justify matzil b'fnei adleika. So the Gemara asks Akasha on Rav Nachman. It could be Rav Huna himself is asking this Kasha. What do we do with a brisa that says that Lashon Targum in Kisrei HaKodesh, Shekesavo Mikra, or the flip side, Mikra Shekesavo Targum? So we're now talking about Kisrei HaKodesh, and they were written in Lashon Targum. Like, for example, we have in Perek Lamed Aleph of Sefer Breishis, Yigar Sahadusa. So this is what we call Targum Shebekisvei HaKodesh. We can give you another example from Sefer Yirmiyah. Perek Yud, it says, Kidna Temrun Lahon. And in fact, in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, you have, or for that matter, Daniel, you have major, major prokem that are all written in Aramit, in Lashon Targum. And instead of writing it in Lashon Targum, he translates it into Lashon Kodesh, which is called Lashon Mikra. Now we have the flip side case. He's got the Lashon Mikra, and he writes it in Lashon Targum. And in the last year, we had a discussion about Eov that was written in Targum, Sefer Eov. Now I have another case here. I have a parsha that was written in Lashon Kodesh, as it should be, but it was written not with Ksav Ashuris, but rather with Ksav Ivris, which is very, very different than Ksav Ashuris. This was the original Ksav, that probably back in the time Moshe Rabbeinu was Ksav Ivris. And the Brisa says, which is really a head-on collision against Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that if you have a Sefer Torah and it doesn't have Shemos in it and it's got a few letters here, there, and elsewhere, then Ein Matzilin. But what about these cases? I mean, in these cases, you really have, in a sense, deviated from the very fundamental writing. You know, you wrote it in Targum when you should have written it in Lashon Kodesh. Or the opposite. You know, you have something that should be written in Targum and you wrote it in Lashon Kodesh, like Yigar Sadusa that we mentioned before. Or, for example, you have a Sefer that's written in Ksav Ivris, and yet, take a look at this Brisa. The Brisa says, Matzilin Osam Ibnei Adleika B'Shabbos. That is really amazing, because here's a fundamental change in the Sefer Torah. You know, you really want to be tempted to think intuitively that we lower the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, and yet, to our surprise, almost to our shock, the Brisa says, Matzilin b'fnei adleika. The Brisa continues and says, V'ein tzorech lomar, it goes without saying, if you have a Lashon Targum in Ezra or in Daniel, and also in Torah, when we spoke about before, Yigar Sadusa, and and it was written in its original language, in Aramaic. Certainly in that case, you matzil b'fnei adleika. That the Braisa points out goes without saying. I mean, madach, if you have a change in the very language and the original, then it's still matzilin, how much more so if it's in the original? And the Braisa spells it out, Targum Shabbat Torah, my ninu, what are you talking about, Targum Shabbat Torah? Torah, the Torah is written in Lashon Kodesh, not in Targum, but Yigar Sadusa is Afal Gav, the Les Beis Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios. Here also, we're talking about various sections of Tanakh, of Torah, and you don't even have a sum total of 85 letters, and yet the Braisa permits you to be Matzah with Nehadleika. How much more so in the case of Rav Nachman, where you had originally a full-fledged kosher Sefer Torah that was Sholem, and now you're left with, okay, less than 85 letters. How can you tell me, Rav Nachman, that ain't Matzil v'snei adleika? So the Gemara answers, wait, you're misunderstanding the Braisa. Ki tanya hi lahashlim. In other words, when this Braisa tells you about, for example, the pasuk that has Yigar Sadusa in it, those words, Yigar Sadusa, are words that will complete this minimum shear of 85 letters. And this Braisa is teaching us that if you have osios that are written in Lashon Targum, we can integrate them and count them validly as part of the 85 letters. We're not going to save just simply these two words, like Yigar Sadusa, but rather we can add these words or these letters of these words, Yigar Sadusa, to be Mashlim 85. So basically, the Gemara sort of blibes, everything remains up in the air. We don't have an answer to Rav Huna's question that he asked of Rav Nachman. We don't have a final decision. And then the Gemara goes on to another suffix, Iboilahu, Hani Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios. If you're saying that, according to one side in Rav Huna's suffix, and this would be indicative of Rav Nachman's conclusion, that you must have, in order to justify Hatzolos HaSefer, at least a minimum of 85 letters. Do they have to be Mechunasos? Or can they even be Mefuzaros? Do you have to have a clump, a continuum of 85 letters, one after the other? Or is it enough if the 85 letters are spread out before the Sefer, which is what we assumed before when we learned the Suffolk of Rav Huna? And Rav Huna apparently came to the conclusion that this shear of 85 letters, which is a duplicate, which is taken from Vayhi ben Tzor Aaron, is dafka, it has to be Mechunasos. That's Rav Huna's understanding. Because, you know, Rav Huna always ups the ante on what generates or what's valid as and has obtains the Kedusha Sefer Torah from Matzilim Bnei Adleika. You know, his standards, his bar is very high. And, he, you know, things here and things there drop like flies on the side. They don't have Kedusha Sefer Torah for Hatzolos Dleika. And here too, if you don't have all these letters Mechunasos, then there's no talk about it. There's no meaning that we can be matzil b'fnei adleika. However, Rav Chisda amar afilu b'fuzaros. And this machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is very similar to the machlokus that we had back on Amud Aleph as far as Hatzolos Kisvei HaKodesh, which are written b'loshen acher. And it was Rav Huna who held that in those cases of Sifrei Torah that were written, Kisvei Kodesh, that were written in other languages, that it doesn't justify it Hatzol b'fnei adleika. And here also, you know, the osios have to fit that higher standard of being 85 letters mechunasos. So that he has two conditions. He has one condition that the Sefer has to be given or lends itself to Kriya, as opposed to Rav Shimon Gamliel's Shita in Ksuvim B'Loshen Acher. And number two, you have to have the minimum shear of one sefer of letters that are all together in one place. Oseos mefuzaros. And it could be in a deeper level that where Rav Huna is implying is that once the letters are mefuzaros, you can't really read them. So it's kind of, in a sense, very similar to the category that we had of Kisvei HaKodesh HaKesuvim B'Loshon Acha, that you can't read it. Now, in the flip side, take Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, even if you can't read from that Sefer Torah, it has Kedusha Sefer Torah, Matzilin also, for example, the case of Kisvei HaKodesh HaKesuvim B'Loshon Acha, according to that day that you can't read from it. And here too, he's going to allow you to qualify and validate a Sefer Torah that's left with it, less than 85 letters that are mefuzaros and you can't read from it. Meisve, the Gemara is a kasha on Rav Huna, Sefer Torah Shebolo. We have a brisa that says that if the Sefer Torah is disintegrated, Im Yeshbo, Lelaket, Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios. Now take a look at the word Lelaket. Lelaket means that we can grab them from here, there, and elsewhere. And in fact, this was the original nusach of Rav Huna Bar Chaluv when he asked this question of Rav Nachman, and he also used the term Einbo Kedei Lelaket Shmonim V'Chamesh. But now we have a brisa that says Yeshbo Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios, but they have to be Mechunasos, because he says, I'm sorry, that they don't have to be mechunasos, it could be mefuzaros, because he says lelaket. We go in parshas vayehi ben soa oron, in other words, we're using that parsha as a paradigm of the number 85 letters, and that's the minimum requirement, but we have 85 letters, but where are they? They are mefuzaros. How do I know this? Because the brisa says Yeshbo Kedei Lelaket. Lelaket means they are here, there, and elsewhere. And yet the Bryce says, Matzino, some if they are Dleika B'Shabbos Imlav, if you don't reach that minimum level of 85 letters, Ein Matzil. So the language of Lelaket certainly indicates that the letters on the Fuzaros that spread out throughout this great Sefer, you have to join them together, but nevertheless, the Bryce says, you have 85, you got 85 letters, that's the minimum shear of a sefer, like we found in Vayehi ben soa oron and Matzilin also. Tiyuvta de Rav Huna. Now, at this point, we think that this price is an outright contradiction against Rav Huna, but Tirgum Rav Chisda, I'll leave it Rav Huna. It's very interesting. This is always the intellectual honesty of the Talmud, Chachmei Talmud. And he's going to defend Rav Huna by introducing an ukimta in this price. And what is that? Betevos. Betevos means words. What he's doing now is he's gathering together words, full words, complete words, in the Sefer. And after you have all these words, you'll have, in terms of osios, letters, 85 letters. Now, if you have complete words, these words could be mefuzaros. When Rav Huna said you need mechunasos, and he was excluding mefuzaros, he was talking about osios. He wasn't talking about tevos. If you have complete tevos, even if those tevos are spread throughout, but we can count up all the letters of those tevos, and those are legible, those are readable, and they reach the number 85, that's where Rav Huna could agree, and the Braisa says matzilin es hasefer. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Vayehi ben soa oron. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, Vayehi ben soa oron, Vayomer Moshe, Parsha Zu, Asal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simonios. These are what we call the Nunim Hafuchim, Mila Mala, Ula Mila Mata. And it's from the beginning to the end. And that sets it up as something separate from the rest of the Sefer. Now, we said that the Simonios here are Nunim Hafuchim, and we have Nunim Hafuchos not just here in Vayivin Sar, but we also have it in Tehillim, as the Gemara points out in Masechta Rosh Chodesh Yud Zayin. Now, exactly how are these Nunim Hafuchos written? Where is the Makom Ksiva? So we'll mention here, and we have a little bit of a diagram here in the name of various tshuvas, whether it's the Nodav Yehuda, whether it's the Marshal, Marami Lublin, and others in Yoridea, in Siman Ayin Dalid, and we're talking about a bunch of sources that tell us exactly how to organize this parsh, how to write this parsh, and specifically how to write the nunim that we're talking about in the Sefer Torah. What we have here in this particular picture, this diagram, is you have Ksav Ashuris, all the way indented on the left side, you have Vayehi Ben Soa, and that takes you through the whole section that ends up with Rivos Alpha Yisrael, and you'll see an upside down Nun. But in this particular picture, it's not like brackets, because the first Nun is exactly identical to the second Nun at the end of the parasha. And what this means is that instead of like the first Nun facing, you know, the opening part facing the Vayehi Ben Soharon, its back is to the Vayehi Ben Soharon. Let's also mention that the Marshal claims that these simonios are not to be identified as Nunin. He thinks that the simonios are simply the revach, the space, the empty space between the psukim that come before Vayehi Ben Soharon and the psukim that come after. And he requires a certain shear of space of what we call revach, and that's kashir parashna. There are other shitos about what these simonios are. According to one sheet, it's Nekod Olemi Lamal Lamata. There are Nekudos in the Sefer Torah. So Tanur Rabbanu Vayehi Ben Soharon V'yom Shaparsha Zu Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simonios Milamal Lamata Lomar. And here we're going to turn to Daf Kufta Zayin Amin Aleph. She'ein Zeh Mekoma. That this parsha is really out of place. It doesn't belong here. It doesn't flow chronologically or sequentially in the process or the step-by-step sequence of these stories, of these episodes. Earlier, the Torah speaks about the Masos. And this parsha here is dealing with the Chaniya, when the Shvatim encamped with their flags, Lidigleim, which is brought down at the very beginning of the Sefer Bamidbar, which is the second chapter of Bamidbar. In any event, Rebbe Omer Lomen Hashem, who said, he has a different explanation for the reasoning of the Simonios, not to take it out of context historically, but rather this parasha is really exactly where it should be. And before the Torah speaks about the and describes the first journey, sojourn of the people of Israel, Nasal Pi Digleim, Vayhi Bashana Shenis, Bechodesh Hasheni, Besrim Bechodesh Nala, Ha'anon Mial, Mishkanedis, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Maseim, Mi Midbar Sinai. Fine. So now the Torah is mentioning the Masa of Bnei Yisrael, and in that context, Vayehi Ben Soharon, during that Masa, and the Aron is meant to protect the Jewish people from their enemies as they traveled and sojourned through the wilderness. Ella, says Revi, so What is the reason for the simonios? Mipnei she-sefer choshev hu b'fnei atzmo. That these psukim have the status of a sefer unto themselves. That's what the simonios are conveying. And this is why, as we said earlier, the shir of a sefer Torah is a minimum of 85 osios, which is the sach hakol of the osios in this parasha, and that makes it chashuv as a sefer Torah, such that its kedusha is still retained, even though everything else was erased. Not only that, the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Yadayim that if you have a sefer Torah that was nimchak osiosel, but you're left with 85 osios, then it's mitami asiyadayim. Also, if you have a sefer Torah that has more than 85 letters that are mistakenly written, then we're not even going to bother with the sefer Torah. If it's got so many letters that it needs geniza, I mean, that's the best you can do with it. Also, you know there's a minhag to fast if chas v'shalom a sefer Torah falls, but we need a sefer Torah that has a minimum of 85 letters that weren't erased. Now, we'll just mention in passing that there's a medrash which seems to shed a new light on Rebbe's statement here about the parasha of Vayihi ben Tzoron as being a sefer Torah unto itself. And just the tip of the iceberg here is that the parash itself is a nevuah of Eldad Umedad, and it's Tfela L'Torah. Not sure what that means. I mean, all the Torah is an embodiment of many different nevuahs, of many different neviim. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, it was dictated to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that gives the Kedusha Sefer Torah. Now you're talking about a nevuah of Eldad Umedad, and perhaps that nevuah is not on the same level as other nevuahs, and the Torah wants to set it off. But I can't begin to entertain the possibility that this parasha has less kedusha than any other parasha. Well, for example, if this parasha was missing, then the sefer Torah would be a perfectly good sefer Torah. Anyway, Kiman Azla, the Gemara wants to know, Hadi Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rab Yonasan, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Chachmos, which means the Chachma of the Torah, Bonsa Besa, Chatzva Amudea Shiva. So the pasuk here talks about the Chochmas HaTorah building, so to speak, its house or her house and breaking through with seven pillars. Elu, what are these seven pillars that are alluded here to? Shivas Sifrei Torah, to seven Sifrei Torah. Kiman Kirebi, how do you get seven Sifrei Torah? And if you accept Rebbe that Vayihi ben Tzoron is in its proper place, but it's considered a sefer unto itself, then it turns out that Breishis Shmos Vayikra Udvarim are four Svarim, and Bamidbar itself is now divided up into three Svarim. There's Bamidbar up until Vayihi ben Tzoron, there's Bamidbar, the balance after Vayihi ben Tzoron, and there's Vayihi ben Tzoron. So if you have three Sfarim of Bamidbar, if Bamidbar is comprised of three Sfarim, you add the three Sfarim to the other four, and you end up with seven Sfarim. And we now have a beautiful Raya for Rebbe. Again, we don't need a Raya for Rebbe. Actually, we're talking about a statement here in the Amoraim of Rab Shmuel, in the name of Rab Yonasan, and a darshaning of Pasuk in Mishlei. But the drash of the Pasuk in Mishlei reflects the sheet of Rebbe. That the Samonios here, be with regard to Vayihi ben Tzoron, set up Vayihi ben Tzoron as a sefer unto itself. Man Tana de Poligale de Rebbe, can we identify the Tana that rejects Rebbe? And the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, who desanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, liyosid lava, in the future, when the Yetzirah will be batel, and all the sins and all the punishments will be batel, is asida parsha zutre te'oker mikan v'tikase bimkoma. the parasha of Ibn Soa will be up, you take a crane and lift it, and it'll be placed at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar where it belongs. V'loma kosva kan, why was it written here? K'dei lahafsik bein peronius rishona l'peronius shnia. So this parsha of Ibn Sa'aron, says Reb Shimon, is separating between one chet and another chet. The first chet is v'nosu me'ar Hashem, k'tino kaborech mi'beis ha'sefer. The second set sin, which we're going to talk about now in the Gemara, is the misonanim. And certainly this Reb Shimon Gamliel is against Rebbe. Rebbe says that the reason for the simonios that set aside this parasha is because it's a sefer unto itself. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, this parasha really belongs here. And the reason why it's got the simonios is just to separate the peronios rishona from the peronios shnia. Because a sotan is going to be mekatreg on Klal Yisrael, that they're constantly sinning. So the Torah gave a wedge, a hefsek, between these sins. But lasid lavo, when there won't be any sins anymore, and there'll be bitul achatoim, bitul yetzahara, then the parasha will go back to where it belongs. So the Gemara says, Puranios shnia maihi, as if to say, we understand the first Puranios, that they ran away from the Beis HaSefer, and not because of the crackdown on coronavirus, but they ran away from the Beis HaSefer. And Paronius Shnei Amahi, Vahi Om Kimisonin, a parasha immediately afterwards that follows here in Perkut Aleph, is the parasha of the Misonin. And if you remember, Hashem was so angry, his divine anger was let out with an ash of fire from one side of the Am to the other side of the Am. And Paras Rishona, as we mentioned before, in Parash, right before Vayhi Ben Sor, it says there in Perek Yud, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshis Yomim, and we have the statement here of Rabbi Chama Bereb Chinina, Shesoru Meachori Hashem, and Maher indicates that just 1 second here, what's the Vayhi Ben Sor Haron, Vayhi Ben Sor Haron, by Yisra Mehar Hashem, Derech Shloshes Yomim. In other words, already in the 3 days of their Masa, they already have the desire to eat meat, which is going to lead them and express itself in rebelling against Hashem. So we have here two Maisei Chet that would generate punishments one after the other, so the Torah was mafsik between them with the parasha Vayhi Ben Sor, which is a more happy parasha. Just reading a note here, he says, Rabbi Chama Dorish Es Hamila Meher, as if there were two tzeres, one under the mem, one under the hay. Meher. I'm not sure what he means by meher. He doesn't help me with that very much. He lets me figure this out on my own. It could be that he's asking me. He's actually darshing me'achar Hashem or me'achorei Hashem. Okay, now, after the story of the Misonanim, the Torah tells us about the Asafsuf that had joined Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, and they caused Yisrael to complain against Hashem that there's not enough meat, and it's kedai, it's time, it's good, it's ripe to rebel against God. As a result, Hashem brought the Slav, but many of the Misonanim and Misramim, actually Misramim would be a more precise word to use here, they died in a Magefa, Kishabasar Adenu Bein Hashinai. So again, even though this Maisa of the Asafsuf and the Misramim appears recorded in the Torah after the Cheda Misonanim, but this, in truth, the rebellion historically of the Asafsuf began much earlier, And within 3 days of the Masa Me'ar Sinai, that's immediately when they began with this kind of asafs v'sher b'kivbo. And the Torah speaks about his avu taiva, and that's mikodem is avu taiva. And then later on, they were mislonin. So the whole process begins actually earlier and culminates with the Kivas HaTaiva of the Mithonin. We could point out here that Ramban seems to have a different pshat than Rashi, and he understands that Saru Me'achori Hashem, the interpretation of Rabbi Chama, is a reference to a Medrash that tells us that Bnei Yisrael ran away from Har Sinai, and that's what we were discussing before, that Kitino Kaborech mi Beis HaSefer. So the word Peronius then, says the Ramban, means chet. It doesn't mean punishment. I mean, we don't find any specific punishment for the fact that they ran away from Har Sinai, Kitino Kaborech mi Beis HaSefer. So what would be the right place that eventually we'll figure it out and it'll be replaced of Vayehi ben Somer of Ashi b'Dgolim? So it means it belongs back at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Torah describes the Machnos and the Dgolim, and the Pasuk there says V'nos'u ha'kohosim nosei ha'migdash. So Vayehi ben Somer would be an appropriate pasuk for that parsha. Now let's get back to Hatzola Mipnei HaDleika. Iboilehu HaGilyonim Shel Sefer Torah. So let's say you have the Chalat, the Giloyon, which is the cloth that has no letters on it, it's Chalak. And what's the status of that gilyon of a Sefer Torah in terms of Atzol B'fnei HaDleika? In other words, it certainly has Kedusha Sefer Torah as far as other dinim are concerned. And as far as klaf is concerned, since it's chalak in the Sefer Torah, although it has Kedusha Sefer Torah, but perhaps it should not be saved from the Dleika, because its Kedusha Sefer Torah, once again, is limited. It's partial. It's not complete. It doesn't have any letters on it. So Matzilin or something Adleiko, Ein Matzilin or something Adleiko. Now, when the Gemara asks this question with regard to the cloth that's smooth, meaning it's empty of words, so the Gemara in its question would understand that it doesn't matter whether it was chalak mitchiloso. Let's say, for example, when you write the Sefer Torah, you have part of the cloth up or down at the top or the bottom, which is left without letters. Or a situation where there were letters on the cloth and then subsequently they were erased. And based on that premise, the Gemara tries to answer the Iboilehu by saying Toshma from a Brisa that says Sefer Torah Shebola Im Yesh Bo Lelak Ein Shmonim V'Chamesh Osios Kedom Parshas Vayehi Ben Somer Matzilin V'Vlav Ein Matzilin V'Amai Tepuk Le Mishum Gilyon Didei. Why does the Gemara say that we don't save the Sefer Torah that disintegrated if you don't have the ability of gathering together 85 letters? We should be saving it simply because of the Gilyon. I mean, the Gilyon is all just complete. And therefore we should derive from this Brisa that the Gilyon itself would not generate a Hatzola B'fnei HaDleika. It doesn't have that level of Kedusha. The Gemara rejects this. Bola Shiny. Notice the case of a Sefer Torah Shebola is different, because once it was Bola and the Ksav is gone, it makes sense that even the Gilyon on which it was written, because the Gilyon is Chalak, but it's part of this Klav, is Batlo Kedushaso. We were asking a question if there were only osios that were erased, but the gilyonos were in a very good shape. Not a sefer Torah that was bola, which would mean that even the gilyonos of bola is tashma. I'll bring you an answer from a brisa. Sefer Torah shenimchak. So the osios of the sefer Torah were erased in yeshbo. And we'll ask, Vamai, why shouldn't we save the Sefer Torah if it has less than 85, even if it has typically Mishum Gilead Day, we should save it because of, or even if all we have is the Gilead, which is below the Makom HaKesiva or above the Makom HaKesiva. So it seems that it was poshut to the Brisa that we would not save the Gilyon because all the focus here is on the 85 letters. So Gemara rejects it. As far as the Gilyon, Makom Aksav, lo kami boile. In other words, we're not going to save a Sefer Torah because of a Gilyon, but Makom Aksav. Why the Chikodesh Agav Ksavu the Kadosh, the entire sanctity of the Gilyon is a spin-off. It's generated by the Makom Ksav, and his Kadosh HaGilyon is a result of his Kadosh HaKsav, and Ozel Ksav Ozel Kedushasa, therefore that Kedusha of the Gilyon is dependent totally upon the Kedusha HaKsav, and if the Kedusha HaKsav is gone, when the Ksav is erased, then Memelo with Mafkia, or Paka, I should say, the Kedusha Sagilyon. But Kikami Baile, what's our suffix about saving Gilyon from the Dleika? That's Shalmala Vishalmata. Or Shabain Parish Le Parish, Shabain Daf Le Daf. And Betchila Sasefer, Besofa Sefer. In other words, the Kedusha Sagilia was not because it was designated for Ksiva. It was his Kachus, even though it was Reik Miksav, it was empty of Ksav from the get-go, and that's how we intended to do it. It was not meant to be sanctified as a schlep-along, as a tag-on to the Ksav of the Osios. And if the Ksav is gone, then the Kedusha of the Gilyon is gone. But now we're talking about a case of Shalmala Shalmata. These are areas around the Ksav, in the Gilyon, and there's Bein Parsha LeParsha, Bein Daf LeDaf, and these are at the beginning of the Sefer, these are at the end of the Sefer. So since it wasn't designated for Ksiva, this part of the Klaf was never from, even from the get-go, we did not single it out for its conscious of Ksiva. They were meant from the beginning to be Reikon, to be empty. And now we have plenty of room for a suffix here that maybe they remain in the Kedusha even after the Sefer Torah and its Ksav were erased. V'tepegle mishum hahu. The Gemara tries to give an answer to the question by saying, let's save the Sefer Torah, if only for those Gilyonos. And the Brisa establishes that if there is, you don't have 85 letters, then we don't save the Sefer Torah. So you see, we're not going to save it because of the Gilyonos, even though there are Gilyonos that were from the get-go left rake, they were left without a Ksav. And the Gemara answers, Tegiz Ushdi. A little bit of a Girsa problem here, but the Dfus Venezia and other Dfusim of printing, they have it as Degiz Ushti. And that Giz means to cut off, right? Miloshin Gozes. And Shti means to like send it. So those Gilyonos were cut off. And what's left is just a Makom HaKsav Shenimchak. In other words, place where there was on the Ksav that was erased. So because there was this kadshus on this area of the Sefer Torah, because of the Ksav Sha'olav, therefore, if there's nothing left of the Ksav, less than 85 letters, then a matzilin also. But our case is a case where you have gilyonos, which are mechubarim lechelek haksav shenimchak, These are gilyonos that are linked up and they're attached to the part that had a ksav and now is nimchak. But we're not talking about the makom that was niskadesh because of its ksav. Meaning, if the ksav is gone, we're not going to save the, you know, mipnei dleiko, we're not going to save that klaf that formerly hosted the letters. That klaf was only a big shot that only had yichus, and it was only sanctified by virtue of the letters. And we don't have the letters, therefore we don't have the kedushas klaf. But we were talking about a case where we have gilyonos that were added to a part of the ksav that was nimchak. But those gilyonos, even if they're attached to the ksav hanimchak, but nevertheless they have their own kedusha from the get-go. It wasn't that they were an extension of the kedusha of the ksav. It's only b'makom haksav shenimchak, in that makom where the ksav was erased, that's called eis kadshus, that was generated by the ksav. And if the ksav is gone, as we said before, ozel ksav, ozel kedusha. But if we're talking about the other parts of the gilyon, where there was never a ksav written on them, that's a whole different story. We don't know whether that has kedusha that would generate and justify Hatzol v'nei Adleika Toshma. We learned in a mission in Masechta Yadayim, HaGilyonim, Shalmalav, Shalmata, Shemei Parshal, Parshemei Daf L'Daf, Shevet Chiyos HaSefer, Shem Sof Sefer, Metamim Es HaYadayim, that the Takonis Chazal of Tumas Yadayim, when you come in contact with a cloth that has a sefer on it, applies not only to the cloth that has the ksav itself, but even to the gilyonos, shalmala, shalmata, etc., etc. So we see clearly that the gilyonos have the same identical kedusha as the makom haksav. The Gemara rejects the Dilma, agav sefer Torah shiny. Maybe the case of the Mishnah in Yadayim is where there was no mechika of the ksav, is the gilyon is sanctified because of the ksav. We want to know what happens in a case where nimchak haksav, is the kedusha in the gilyonos independent of the ksav? That's where we're vacillating back and forth. Toshma, let's bring a raya from a brisa, gilyonim, v'sifrei minim, ein matzino, something they had lekel, and israfim bimkomon, hein v'yazkirosehem, my love, gilyonim, d'sefer Torah. Right, this brisa says, or let's say discusses two different categories. There's the sifrei minim, right, that were written in Lashon Kodesh and with Dio, and everything was kosher, v'yosher, but they were written by Jews who Nebuch believed in Avodah Zarah. Those are minim. And there for sure we have to burn the Sefer Torah. And now we're talking about something else entirely, and that's called gilyonim. Now, in the case of gilyonim, presumably, you know, we're talking about the gilyon of the Sefer Torah, meaning there was a ksav, the ksav is gone, and you're left with the gilyon, and the halacha is, according to this brisa, ein matzilin osav ne'adleka, nisrafim b'mkomon. The Gemara rejects this, lo, b'gilyonos disifrei minim. You should read the word gilyonim together with the next two words of sifrei minim. These are gilyonim of sifrei minim. Now, why would the brisa have to add gilyonos of sifrei minim? Hashta, sifrei minim gufayu. You know, the ksav itself of the Sefer Torah has to be burned. V'ein matzilin. Is gilyonos mi boy? Why would I think otherwise with regard to gilyonos that never had and certainly don't have a ksav on them? So based on this gemara, on this kasha, the gemara actually reverses itself and interprets the brisa in a different way. The gilyonos in the brisa, that's not klaf halak. That's not the empty gilyonos around the ksav, but rather klaf halak shemi olol nitzavo klum. We're talking about a klaf that never had anything written on it, and this would seem to touch on the issue of hazmona milsa halchi kamar. Here's what the brisa has in mind: sifrei Torah shiksuvim minim hareyem ki gilyonim. They have the same kedusha, which is going to be absolute zero, as gilyonim, which is klaf. Chalak, you know, you buy You buy a piece of cloth, you know, that was tanned and prepared. What kedusha does it have? There's no kedusha. So again, we're left with a situation where we don't have an answer to our original question. All right. Let's just drink something. Okay. So we really don't know what the status of Gilyonos are, or is, I should say, and whether Matzil Mifnei Adlik. Gufa, let's go back to the Brisa. Gilyonos v'sifrei minim ein Matzil Mifnei Adlika. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'chol koder es hazkara shebahem. In other words, you should cut out that part of the cloth of the sifrei minim where the hazkaras of Hashem are written. The gonzom, and he should hide them if they are covered. And the rest, the balance of the Sefer Torah, should be burnt. And Rabbi Yossi is making a desperate plea on behalf of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to have some covered for the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the Tanakhama is not impressed by that, because those Shemos were written by Minim, by idolaters. We don't want to have any, there's no vestige or even hair's breadth of Kedusha to those Azkaros. Yeah, but the question is, how do we view the Azkaros? I mean, the Torah says you're not allowed to burn Azkaros of Hashem. And when you burn Kisvei HaKodesh that don't have Azkaros, that's already a Drabbanan. Now, what do we do over here? We have a case of a Sefer Torah that was written by a Min. And the Brisa records machlokas here between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi as to whether or not we have to cut out the Azkaras before we burn the Sefer. Omar of Tarfin, Rabbi Tarfin is famous for this phrase that is very shocking to us, the kind of shvua. He says, Akapeach es bonai, let me be cursed if. This was his way of impressing everyone that he really meant business. Im yavo, if I will get access to Sfarim, Liyadi, Shani Esrof. In other words, I have no hesitation and no inhibition to burn not only the Sfarim, but also the Azkaros. Why? Because when Minim and idol worshippers write Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their Kavana is Avodah Zarah, for their Avodah Zarah. And this you'll see in Rashi and Gittin. Or you could say alternatively that if the Minim don't believe in Kedushas Hashem, they think it's like any other letter, so the Shemos aren't Miskach, and there's no Miskachus to the Shemos, and therefore we could bury them. Shafilu Adam Rodef Acharav Lahorgo V'nochash Roch Rots Lakisho Nichnas Lebeis Avodah Zarah. You know, we're talking about these Minim. Imagine someone's running after them, or there's a serpent that's about to attack them and bite them. So what does this person do? He goes into Beis Avodah Zarah. He walks into a temple of the Goyim, and that's where he wants to save himself. Okay, maybe we can allow that. For the sake of a chaybaim of pikuach nefesh to walk into a base of avodah zarah because he's not worshipping anything there, but ein nichnasim lubateim shall elu shall these mean it, because shekein halolu makirin vekofrin, in the case of avodah zarah and in idolatry they recognize the creator. Maybe they are heretics against him and they want to bow down to idols, etc. But, I'm sorry, let's start again. In the case of Minim, they are Makiris Borom, but they are Kofrim Bo. So they really rebel against God. But let's go back to Goyim that are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ein Makirin. No, they don't recognize the God as the creator. Their deity is their idol. The Kofrim Bo, and they deny any existence of God. That's the way they were raised, and that's the way their parents taught them. Aleim, regarding Minim, HaKosav Omer, V'achar Adelos V'Avazuzah, Samt Zichronech. In other words, remember who I am, don't forget me. That's what Yeshayahu HaNavi is saying over here, in the name of Hashem. And Hishlachta Osi Achrei Adeles. Have you, in a sense, I don't know what word to use over here, but have you thrown me behind the door? And again, if we summarize the Shita Rabbi Tarfon, and he takes a Shvuah, he's going to burn the Sifrei Minim, and he doesn't have any compunctions about even burning the Askaras that are written down on a cloth by the Minim. They're over there, Avodah Zarah. And they're not Makir, they're Borei, they're Kofrim Bo. And the Pasuk says about that, that we should, you know, throw them out, you know, Me'achori Adelis. Now, here's another Tana that agrees with Rabbi Tarfon. Om Rabbi Shmuel, Kalvachomer. Based on a Kalvachomer, I come to the conclusion that certainly we should burn the Sfarim with the names of Hashem. Uma Lasel Shalom Ben Ishli Ishtomer Torah, Shem Misha Nichtab Bekdusha Yimocha, Shmi, my name, Shenichtab Bekdusha Yimocha Lamayim, right, for the drinking of the Mei Sota, we're going to take a cloth, right, the Megillah of Sota on it, and we're going to destroy it. We're going to obliterate the names of Hashem. Why? Because this woman is suspect of adultery, and we want to create Shalom Ben Ish L'Ish, so we can only do so if she passes the test, and the Brahmin is going to be, she's going to drink from this concoction of Mayim with this cloth that on which the name of Hashem was written, and we're going to erase and obliterate the name of Hashem. Is how much more so Alolu Shematilim Kinu V'Eva V'Tachrus Bein Yisrael Avim Shemashamayim Malachas Kama V'Kama. If you're allowed to obliterate the shame for the greater good of Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishto, how much more so should you obliterate the name of Hashem in order to erase those names that were written by people who create Kinu and Eva, and they wedge between Klal Yisrael and their Father in Heaven. And the missionaries that try so hard to get the Jewish people to worship Avodah Zarah, how much more so we should be mochek their shemos. For lesser good, we'll mochek shemos, maybe to find a way of exonerating a sota that it's about to be condemned for adultery. David, with respect to these kofrim, these minim, he declares, Halo misanecha Hashem esna. These are those who are hated in the eyes of God, and I will hate them as well. Ubis kovimecha is when they rise up against you, God. Eskotot, meaning I'm going to defend God's name and His glory and His honor, and I'm going to go fight with them. Tachlis sinos nesim li oivim hoyuli. I have reached the ultimate of sinah with regard to those who are misanecha, these minim who do so much to undermine HaKadosh Baruch. And they're Kofrim Bo, and they try to get Klal Yisrael to, Rachmana Litzlan, worship their beliefs of Minim, and to reject our belief in one God. So these Minim are called Misanim, because they generate a sinah of God against the Jewish people. And the miskomim neged Hashem, they rise up against God in rebellion. Therefore, tachlis sinah sanesim, says David HaMelech, there's no sinah that's greater than the sinah that I have for someone who's being mevakesh la'adiach osanu. He's trying to get us to be rejected. The people of Israel should be rejected by God and to be obliterated from Olam Haba. So if this is their derech, that they want to show themselves kilu, they're oavim, and they want our good. But in truth, their entire kavana is only to do us evil, and therefore li'ovim hayuli, they were always my enemies, and I was not seduced by them. So Rabbi Shmuel holds halacha like Rabbi Tarfon, but from a different vantage point. He comes through to the same conclusion from a different svara. Rabbi Tarfon explains that the minim makirim v'kofrim. That was the lashon of Rabbi Tarfon. And Makirin is a Bori v'Kofrimbo. That's a real rebellion. So therefore, says Rabbi Tarfon, the Shemos that are written by these Minim were never Hiskadshu. and you're allowed to burn them. And in fact, there is an additional element here of a mitzvah to burn them, and that's because we don't want to leave any zecher, any remnant behind that would be a zecher to Maisa Hamina. So it's a mitzvah to burn them. But Rabbi Shmuel, that was Rabbi Shmuel paskining like Rabbi Tarfa. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Shemos miskadshim, and therefore also the Sorfon. So that which Rabbi Shmuel holds, that Rabbi Tarfa, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel, holds that fundamentally the Shemos one is Kadesh, not like Rabbi Shmuel says that the Kofrim cannot even generate the Kedushas HaShemos, but Rabbi Shmuel in conscience holds fundamentally the Minim can generate Kedushas HaShemos. However, why isn't it also to burn them? That's because the Matilim Eva Ben Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that creates a heter and even a mitzvah to burn these Sfarim, even though they do have some element of Kedusha. The Brisa continues, and Kashem She'ein Matzilin Osan Mipnei Adleika Kach Ein Matzilin Osan Lo Mipnei Amapolis Lo Mipnei Amnayim Amayim V'lo Mikol Dover Acher Amabdon. So just like we won't save these Sfarim that were written by Minim on Shabbos if it is a Adleika, so too even during the days of the week if there's a Adleika, we're going to let these Sfarim burn. We're not going to save them from Amapolis or for any other catastrophe that could destroy them. Boy, minei Yosef Bar Chanin mi Rabbi Avo, hani sifrei debei Avidan, those sifrei kodesh from the bayis called Avidan, which is a makom where the minim, we used to have debates with Klal Yisrael as far as Amun is concerned, and that's where the minim would write sifrei kodesh, for the sake of their vikuchim, of their arguments, their contentions. Is matzino someday of leko? Ein matzilino son. The sfarim that were written in base avidan, what is their status? Because lechora, the minim wrote the sifrei Torah for their purposes, and that should really generate a din of sreifa. Not there's no heter of hatzola mipnei adleika, but on the contrary, let these sfarim burn. And the tzadi asafek are im nechshavim anoshim elu kikofrim mamish. Do we consider them as absolute heretics? O shema rak kifilosofim amisvakchim. Maybe they're just philosophers that are entering into the didactics of this debate. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different suffix. Were these sfarim written by Jews or not? And even if you know that they were written by Jews, it's possible that since these sfarim were in their hands, mishukoyim biyadam, for a long, long decades and centuries, is ein lecha dleika gedola mimenu shem bersusam. We're not going to save them from bizayon. O shema ki kol mashev shalasas atzalos l'chayovim lasas. So this is a question that was asked to Rabbi Avo. In v'lav rafi biyode, yes, no, maybe so. He didn't have a clear answer. Is it mutter, is it osur? Let's go back to Be'avidon. Rav lo osur le'Be'avidon. Those public debates, Rav refused to show up. The Kolshkein, for sure, he wasn't going lebei Natsrafe, to the base of Avodah Zarah, which is called Natsrafe. Shmuel, on the contrary, is lebei Natsrafe lo Azal. He would not go to a base of Avodah Zarah, but lebei Avidan Azal. And why did he go there? He wanted to be part of this Vikuach. So again, he would go to base Avidan for this Vikuach. And I guess he felt that it would be very important for the Jewish people and the Mesorah and the tradition that was passed on for so many generations should be defended, should be protected. against the arguments of these Mina. Amru Leila Rava. Here's a story about Alich Lebe Avidon. The Minim say to Rav, my time below us is Lebe Avidon. Why don't you come and join this public debate in Be Avidon? Amru Rava responds, Dikla Planya Ika Be'orcha Ukshele. There's a date tree on the road, and it's very difficult for me to pass through that road because the roots of this tree lift up the pavement, so to speak, of the road. The highway is lifted up. And all around this tree, because of its branches, because of its roots, the derech is. So they said to him, Ne'akre, you know what, we'll do you a favor. We'll uproot this day tree. It's not going to bother you anymore. So on that, Rava responds, Duchte kashali. Even the place is kashali. Forget about the date tree, date palm. I have another problem. Duchke kashali. To go through the streets, that itself is difficult for me. Because there are gumos, and I'm not interested in that. Mar Barav Yosef Amar Ano Minayu Ano, I belong to them. In other words, I'm in good kahoot, so to speak. I have good relations with those minim. V'lo mistafina minayu, and I'm not afraid of them. Zimne chada ozil boyisakne. But once he went to debate with them, and they tried to do him under. They put his life into jeopardy. Another story about a min, Ima Shalom, the Besu de Rabbi Eliezer. So we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer's wife, Achte de Rabbi Gamliel Havi. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, which means Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel were brothers in law. Havi Ahu Philosopher Shebishvivuse. There was a philosopher, meaning that's a code word for a min, who lived in their neighborhood. And on Kufta Zainam in Beis Davik Shokil Shma Delo Makabel Shuchta. He would generate a certain reputation about himself that he would never accept bribes from any of the different litigants that came in front of him for judgment. But in truth, he did accept bribes under the table. Boy Lachuche Be. So Rabbi Gamliel and Ima Shalom wanted to make fun of him. They wanted to publicize his low behavior. His Ayla Le Shruga de Dava, Ima Shalom brought in front of him, clandestinely, a menorah of Zav, and she was going to offer him to him as a bribe. The Azul Kameh, and Ima Shalom and Rabbi Gamliel went in front of this min for a din, for a judgment. Amrulay, so Ima Shalom says to the judge, Ba'ina de Niflegi Li bin Achase de Ve Nashi. And he wrote, Sa Chalek bin Achasim Shorish Avi Bimosa. My claim is my father died. I want a Chalek in these Nachasim. I want to inherit my father. At least part of the inheritance should go to me. Amrulus the Shofit says, Plogu. You should divide up the inheritance. The state should be equally divided. Amalei, so Rabbi Gamliel says to the judge, Ksiv lan, in our Torah it says, B'makom bra, bratolo teres. If there's a son, then the daughter doesn't have any status as a yore. She cannot inherit. And that's based on Matas. It says, the ishki amus, ubein enlo, vavartem esnachlos lebito. Meaning, only because he has no son, therefore she, the sister, inherits, the daughter inherits her father. But if he had a son, this deceased, then the boss would not inherit the money. Amalus, so the Shofit says to Rabbi Gamliel, Min Yoma de Glisun Me'aravon, Arachon, from the day that you were sent into exile from your land, the Torah of Moshe was taken away, and another Sefer replaced it, and that completely undermines and cancels all the laws of your Torah. Itnulias al-Raisa, the Torah was taken away, and you see, Avos Safachrina, now we have a new book, the New Testament, Uksiv Bey, and it says there, Bro Barta B'chadi Yersin, that if there's a son and a daughter, then they inherit equally, they split the inheritance. L'machar, the next day, Hadar Ailule Iu Chamra Luva, he, Rabbi Gamliel, brings in front of the shofet a chamor, a donkey from Luv, and he's trying to bribe him. I mean, the donkeys from Luv were very special. So the shofet starts the diun, v'yomar lehu, he says, shapilis l'seife de sifra. In other words, I re-examined the law books, and I found at the end of the book, Sive, it says, Ana lola mifchas min oraisa de Moshe Asisi, v'lola osvi al oraisa de Moshe Asisi. I didn't come here to diminish from Torah, to subtract from Torah's Moshe, nor to add to Torah's Moshe. Ksivbe, it says in Torah's Moshe, v'mokum bro bartoloteris. If there's a son, then the daughter doesn't inherit. Amo leisei Meshalem says, Nahorich, Nahar Nahorich, Kishraga. That's a remez to the menorah that she gave him. Ha'er mi'orach b'kiminorah. In other words, you let your light shine forth like a menorah. And paskin on my behavior, Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, he says in a remez, he says, Osa chamora ubotash l'shraga. The chamora came and kicked the menorah and pushed it down to the land. Now everyone who was around, they understood from this remez that that the reason why Rabbi Gamliel won the case was because he gave a better shochad than his wife than Ima Shalom had given. And she gave a menorah, but he gave a chamor luvi, and a chamor luvi is worth more than menorah. And that's how they understood, and they were megala, the nivlus, the perversion of this min, who presents himself as being an honest judge. All right, we're up to Umipnei Ma Ein Korin. So we're going to stop here. We're on Daf Kufte Zayin Amid Beis. And we're up to the two dots, which are about 15 lines down from the top. Umipnei Ma Ein Korin.